This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And it's Motivational Monday. Good afternoon. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and in the studio for Enterprise Biz Bites today is
Arvind Yuvraj,
Christine Wong,
and Majida Hashim.
And on the show, we will be talking about Google making a debut of Tez in India, which is a mobile app payment, and we'll talk about it in just a moment. But and then also we have an AI that can apparently now detect Alzheimer's 10 years before symptoms show up, and this is a very crucial step. Useful for Alzheimer's. Early detection is crucial. Christine will be talking to us about Fenty, a beauty thing. I'm gonna not say much about this because I think
it's all good, Jeff. I will educate the masses.
Amazing, and I'm and also Arvind, you'll be talking about smart tea.
Smart tea, yeah.
On a Monday, sipping some tea during lunchtime. Cool. And of course, today's Biz Bites, we will be sharing with you some of events that will be happening that has gone onto our radar. We'll give you all the details. But before that, though, Majida, Google.
Yep. So after several weeks of speculation, today Google has officially unveiled its first big foray into the mobile payment market in Asia. The Android and search giant has launched Tez, a new mobile wallet in India that will let people link up their phones to their bank accounts to pay for goods securely in physical stores and online for person-to-person money transfers. The app is launched in iOS and in Android and will see Google linking up several major banks in the country by way of Unified Payments Interface, UPI. It's a standard payment system backed by the government in a push to bring more integrated banking services in a very fragmented market.
When we say government, we're talking about India because
Indian
it's now
government.
It's now in India first, but you know, we're hoping that this is the start.
I'll get back to that in other parts of Asia in just a little bit.
But what is Tez actually?
It's a mobile wallet, very basically, and it's supported by banks including Axis, HDFC Bank, ICICI, State Bank of India, and other banks in India that supports UPI. And online payment partners that have already come on board include large giant food chains like Domino's, transport services like Redbus, Jet Airways. So you can pay all of that already on Tez if you're in India. And because India has a very fragmented market, it's a huge continent after China that has like the biggest market base that you can tap on. The app is supported in English, Hindi, Bengali, Gujarati, Kannada, Marathi, India, Tamil and Telugu.
You have to as well.
Because so for money transfers, there's a limit of what is this? A million rupees in one day across all UPI apps and 20 transfers a day. While the service is launched in India this week, Google has already trademarked the name in other Asian countries.
Interesting.
Specifically Indonesia and Philippines. So there could be a movement to actually spread this out to other regions in Asia and tap into the mobile payment market in these other parts of Asia as well.
But so, it says Indonesia and
Philippines
now. Yeah. No news on like Malaysia, Singapore.
Not yet.
A million rupees is like about 65,000 ringgit.
Wow.
That's a lot. That's
huge.
That's big movements
in a day or 20 transfers in a day. So what's interesting is that I went over to this Tez website. I wanted to see how it works, and it's pretty interesting because in its cash mode, you can put on a cash mode and you can send money instantly to another Tez user. So it's one person transferring money to another person without needing to share private details like your bank account or your phone number. So it comes out, I think the phones are paired in some way or another. And it's as easy as swiping to pay. Just adding amount, and one person has the interface that says pay, another one has an interface that says receive. The amount is shown, and you swipe, and the money transfers from one person to the other person. So it's really easy.
I'm seeing numbers wrongly. It's about 6,500, not 65,000. But wow, that's impressive. And it's interesting that it ties up with your bank account. So it's not something that you have to top up your digital wallet. Yeah. It's not a digital wallet. It's a proper wallet.
It's a proper wallet.
To your bank itself.
You can pay from one person to another. And there's also Tez for business. And that one, you are a shop. And so it's as easy as swiping while you are there at the counter itself from your Tez account to that business Tez account itself.
So it's just like our wave, like the Visa wave.
Yeah. Visa wave. And you know, you've got Samsung Pay here now that links to your credit card.
Apple Pay as well
that links to your credit cards and all. It's interesting. And if they can conquer India with, you know, there's so many different languages many ways of doing business, and they're still, you know, India is not like, you know, like a leader in technology, like the forefront of doing things. They are very much like, you know, like us in a sense that, you know, they're still trying out their ways, because there's just so many of them that, you know, you need to cater and have so many different ways of doing it.
Yeah. So many languages.
Yeah. But if Google can tackle that, you know, of course Malaysia will be peanuts for them, right? Because you could tackle India.
It's a nice kind of middle ground for them to test it out. Like, if they tried to do this in China, it would take too long and it would be too difficult to actually get into that market. Yeah. So the fact that they kind of, I think the country that they've chosen is very smart. Yeah. But it's Google. So of course they were going to make a smart decision in the first place.
Plus,
right?
China already has its own mobile phone system.
Exactly.
You're going to go compete against Tencent. Exactly. No way.
It's a good stepping stone, I think.
Interestingly,
definitely.
India also has an expanding middle class with a lot more disposable income, and they're very tech savvy. They like being updated in tech. The problem with India is that it does have a very low credit card penetration right now. So the problem is, the challenge, I guess, for Google is whether or not people will come on board this mobile wallet. But I think it's a very interesting... If anybody's going to do it, it's going to be Google.
You know, hey, Google, if you're listening and you feel, oh, God, India is such a big... you know, it's so much of headache. Let's try Malaysia.
Come over here.
Users like a testing platform. You'll be happy.
I'll be so happy.
Just link up all the banks, and then you just don't have to carry wallet anymore at all.
Tune in on Thursday, because Jeff will probably have a deal with Google by then, right?
Arvind, AI. Talking about all this technology and all. AI is going to save us, humanity.
Yeah.
At least for Alzheimer's, people who will have, you know, Alzheimer's.
Who may have Alzheimer's
as well, because early detection is crucial.
And not according to Elon Musk. Like, if you listen to him, then he will say that, he's like Anton.
Or last Thursday's Biz Bites, where we talk about an AI robot that is going to kill you in bed.
While you sleep.
This AI robot is going to help you.
To
prevent Alzheimer's.
All right, tell us about this good robot.
So, like you mentioned, early detection is crucial. And I think the problem that people cannot detect early is, like, I was speaking to Majida outside, and you said it's because there's so many, like, false symptoms.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't know if people are just getting, like, forgetful, or it's like an onset of like Alzheimer's or dementia and things like
that. You know, I honestly worry about this all the time. And so much so that I actually key in on my Google Calendar I have dinner at home, and, you know, because I tend to just forget.
You forget where you park your car, and you have to take a picture of that.
Thankfully, car hasn't arrived. But I think once I forget where I park my car, I know I have a problem.
Maybe this AI can help you in the future.
I
thought you were going to say that you looked up Google for symptoms. I'm like, never, ever do that.
No.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah. So there's this team of researchers at the University of Bari in Italy, and they believe that the answer lies in AI. So what they are doing is they've developed an algorithm that can spot tiny structural changes in the brain that are caused by the disease 10 years before the symptoms actually appear. So the way they did this was quite interesting. What they did was they trained their AI by feeding it 67 MRI scans from 38 from Alzheimer's patients and 29 from healthy controls, or from healthy people that don't have Alzheimer's, right? So then what the researchers did was they divided the scans into small regions, and then they had their AI analyze the neuronal connectivity between all these scans. So once the training was done, the AI was it had to process 148 subjects, and then in that number they detected that 48 were scans of people with the disease, while 48 were scans of people who suffered from mild cognitive impairment, which eventually would develop into like full blown Alzheimer's. The AI was able to detect this 86% of the time. So 86% of the time it was able to successfully know that this person has Alzheimer's and this other person does not, or the third batch of people had just like some other mental disorder which was not Alzheimer's.
Even then also, I would love to the AI to be wrong. I'll be happy.
I think it's if it knows, and then the question is, like, once once it knows, like 10 years on, what can it do?
Yeah.
Like, because there's no way to reverse it yet, right? Yeah. There's no cure or anything yet.
But at least maybe you could help to prepare for that eventuality. Yeah. You could talk to your friends, talk to your family, kind of make sure that, you know, they know that if such thing happens, they can be prepared. But I also love the fact that this is just spot the difference, but in AI and for your brain. I mean, that's so crazy, right?
And it sounds so simple in the sense that, you know, you just feed it 67 MRIs and, you know, then it will run through the test and you will find this pattern. But for the AI, it was just, you know, a lot of us being against, like, oh, us humans, so you could do. It's like, no, actually, you can't, because these are things that it's such a degree of, fine degree of in precision as well, that the AI knows, and that just us humans take way too long to even do it. And the AI is just bang.
To detect it, no? Yeah. But the other thing is, would you want to know like 10 years in advance?
For something like Alzheimer's, if you have a 10-year lead time, because it's a disease that deteriorates over time, right? Yeah. Do you get worse? And there's like you said, there is no cure for Alzheimer's, but you can make lifestyle changes and you can take other preventive measures to delay the onset of Alzheimer's, per se. You'll take some time to like get into the, okay, now I have the Alzheimer's and accept that.
If I have Alzheimer's and I know, you know, in 10 years' time, I will get Alzheimer's because, you know, it's been confirmed
that
I have this thing.
It'll just be full-blown by then.
I will be, you know, one is, like Christine said, you get prepared for it. But the other thing is that I think, you know, I will take steps to help me prolong the deterioration period and, like, you know, maybe start writing down on a day-to-day basis. And then, you know, when it happens, I can try to force the reverse. It's a mental thing. It's a mental battle, right? But if it comes to you without knowing, you lost the battle immediately and now you're playing catch up with the disease itself.
Yeah.
Right?
And
there's activities, change of diet, maybe, and then you can just slow down the onset of Alzheimer's itself.
Some way to push it forward, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's another thing. It says that unfortunately these guys, they had like a small like data sample site. They had a small bank basically. It's just from a small group of people. Mm-hmm. So if they have like more people to study and all, then they can make like more accurate decisions, I guess.
Yep. AI works when you have millions of data points. You know, if you just have a few, it's not going to work. It needs a lot of data. Great stuff that AI saving us or it's going to kill us.
Flip a coin.
It depends on who develops the AI. Anyways, this is a Tokyo Police Club with a Wait Up. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Barry fronts Motown, BFM 89.9.
And we're back. This is the Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Arvind Yuvraj,
Christine Wong,
and Majida Hashim.
And early on, we talked about Google launching Tez, which is a mobile wallet in India. And hopefully, they will come over to this part of the region. And then we talked about AI that could possibly save people from Alzheimer's disease, or at least give you an early detection up to 10 years.
10 years in advance,
10 years before it even, you know, sort of has an impact to your body. Let's now move on to Christine. You've got a story on a beauty product that I've just tried to read, and I'm like, okay, me and Armin going to.
So okay, let me just say right now. First of all, this is Motivational Makeup Monday for me. So what it is that basically, as I'm sure people may, even if you don't necessarily use cosmetics, I think people are aware that, you know, there's a kind of standard that the beauty industry has. Specifically, there are a lot of beauty products for people who have lighter skin and not a lot of beauty products for people who have darker skin. And the beauty industry has tried to cater to women of color more as it searches for sales beyond the white shoppers that it has historically focused on. But even though there have been a lot of mainstream brands that have attempted to reach ethnic consumers, nothing has really happened. Like, you know, there's still a lot of trouble with, you know, people trying to find the right shades for their skin, people who are trying to find the things that work for them. And the diversity is just a really massive issue in the beauty industry at the moment. And this has been an issue for quite a long time. But Rihanna, as in actual Rihanna, as in the celebrity Rihanna,
As an umbrella Rihanna,
released a beauty line called Fenty Beauty. It debuted at Sephora at the beginning of the month, and it was in development for 2 years before launching. And a lot of thought has gone into this because it has gone crazy. I mean, yes, clearly there has been a level of success attributed to this because it's Rihanna. But the success of Fenty Beauty actually one of the big highlights of this cosmetics launch is that it has provided an amazing range of products for all skin types, because the brand has offered 40 different shades of foundation and a variety of concealers and highlights for work for all skin tones. So one of the big issues is that, you know, there's essentially with the beauty industry, there's always been a middle ground that they've stuck to. And people have really, really tried to break this middle ground, but no one has actually been able to do that successfully until now. You know, the range of Rihanna's products, you know, goes, you know, even the lighter shades are really varied, and the darker shades are really varied. And the indication is that there's still room in the beauty market for a lot more makeup aimed at women who, you know, have trouble finding, you know, the right shade for their skin tones. And, you know, even the lighter shades among these 40 different shades were made to be inclusive as well, because albino people have actually shed light on just how much Rihanna thought about diversity, because they have a lot of trouble. Like, you know, it's not just darker skin, it's also lighter skin as well. Yeah. People who have that, you know, who have a real, real issue with finding. And so what has happened now, in an interesting twist, is that every other makeup brand is now scrambling to kind of pretend that they were super diverse before this point in time. So I mean, honestly, go look at any other makeup Instagram page. You will see there is a clear, clear difference in the way that they marketed it. And what the reason why I wanted to bring this up on BizBytes today is because diversity is something that a lot of, I think, beauty brands, or even just fashion in general, you know, anything to do with the aesthetic industry, everyone has not really thought about beauty, about diversity as something that can earn money, right? Because the whole point is that, you know, with beauty and with things like that, they promote exclusivity, right? It's like, hey, you want to look flawless,
They give you an image of what a perfect human being would look like, and they want everyone to follow to be that one type of character or model that they've built, and you go like, that's not how it's going to happen.
It's not realistic,
right? Me and me, yeah.
Exactly. But what Rihanna has done is that she's gone, actually, I just want people to be themselves, but the best version of themselves, and she's allowed people to have that, and suddenly everyone is freaking out.
So here you go, there are 40 colors in there.
Freaking out. Like, I mean, even like, for example, there is one brand that has had like quite, you know, a bit of products that are meant for darker skin tones, but suddenly the marketing for that product has shot through the roof. You know, that kind of thing. And it's just so fascinating as someone who is really, really interested in beauty. Because even, and I will say this very, very honestly, I don't have a lot of trouble finding things that suit my skin tone here. But in, you know, when I was in the UK, that was a big problem. Because it's not just about how light or dark you are. It's about, you know, even like things like you have warm or cool undertones. You know, you have to think about what exactly the shade of like tan that you are, things like that. You have to make sure that your foundation matches your neck color. All this stuff is so important. And just the fact that it took one celebrity with this amount of power and this amount of influence to be able to break this barrier.
Yeah, which generally, okay, so I do not like when celebrities get into the startup game. Honestly, a lot of them are just really, you know, I don't want to say it, but, you know, they're kind of stuck in their bubble. They think it's a great product because they're a celebrity, you know. Just to mention one, Goop. Goop is from Gwyneth Paltrow. And she's an amazing person as an actress. I'm sure she's as a person, as a human being herself, she's an amazing. But Goop as a startup is just something that I cannot understand why it exists. If you have no idea what Goop is, just go online, goop.com, and you would see just how, you know, in a bubble a lot of people, you know, would especially celebrities, you know, would be, and, you know, and they launch something and they hope that, you know, this is going to cater to the mass market. Your bubble isn't mass market. But for Rihanna, though, I have to give it to her, based on, you know, the story so far and what I'm seeing online here, it seems to be really good. She knows exactly what people want. How much is it costing? And it's like, how much the price for this, though?
Surprisingly, it's not actually that expensive. Right. A lot of the things at Sephora. Okay, so for example, there's one US brand that's called ColourPop, and lipsticks from ColourPop usually retail at about like $6. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not that, I would say, I'm not exactly sure about the numbers exactly at the moment, but like, for example, Kat Von D's lipsticks in comparison are like 100 ringgit or something ridiculous like that, right? But Rihanna has made them kind of mid-price at the moment. I think at Sephora right now in Malaysia, her products range from maybe like 40 to like 100 something ringgit, but it depends on which product you buy and things like that. But the fact of the matter is they're not totally inaccessible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and again, there's a big problem with the fact that a lot of, you know, makeup brands are, and the way that it was going, the way the trend was going at first was we need to make it more expensive. We need to make it limited edition. We need to make this something that not everyone can access. Mm. Rihanna just kind of went, I'm going to do the opposite of that. And it has become a massive phenomenon. So I really hope that the beauty industry will see this not just as a trend that can be looked over and then, you know, skipped over in the future, but as a genuine beauty revolution.
Cool. All right. Interesting stuff. I guess, you know, beauty products, again, it's a very sensitive issue because there's just so many different types of people in this world and, you know, it's hard, right? And you wonder what can you do, and then you realize let's just cater to everyone instead of just trying to mold
really
people.
It's interesting to see how actually the Malaysian market will put up with this, because everything you see in the Malaysian shelves where the cosmetics are concerned, everything's whitening.
Yes.
All want to get whiter and lighter and lighter. Even the local brands are going, it's going to make you whiter. After being told your whole life that you need to be fairer, you have everything whitening, now they're telling people that
it's fine.
You just be you.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how people will accept that or how they would be like, oh, now it's okay to be me. But if anyone's going to do it, it's Rihanna.
It's Rihanna. Honestly, look out for it. Use
the celebrity status for something good.
Exactly.
Right?
And the weirdest part of that is that a celebrity brand is the first brand that I've ever really felt genuine about.
This one, right? I mean, I just want to know, like you said, 40 shades. Like, if you compare that to other brands, is that a lot?
At the moment, the current, not record exactly, but the one that I know has the most shades is about 29. Uh-huh. And also, most of them are lighter toned. There's only about 5 that are darker toned
in that particular
range. So this is crazy. Wow. This is unheard of in the beauty industry.
Me and Arvin learned something new today.
I learned a lot new today.
And now, this is the Four Tops with A Simple Game, BFM 89.9.
Bazaar Football Money, BFM 89.9.
And we're back. This is the Enterprise Biz Bites with me, Jeff, together with Arvin, Christine and Majida. Arvin!
Mm-hmm.
Time for some tea brewing.
Mm-hmm. Some tea brewing. Everyone here drink tea, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What kind? Teh tarik or teh?
Not really fussy with my tea.
I like all tea.
All kinds of tea.
Yeah. So there's this... Timosa is this thing. It's actually...
Timosa.
Timosa. Mm. Yeah. It's a tea brewing set that's on Kickstarter now. And what they're saying is it's a smart tea brewing set.
I don't like the sound of this already now.
I know. So what it says is it claims to not only brew perfect tea every time, but actually do so better than any traditional brewing methods. So that's the part I'm not sure about, because I know the Mama Stall tea is like one of the best, and you cannot beat it. I don't care what kind of smart device that you have. But they essentially, what it says is there are like two parts of this Timosa device. It's like this black thing. It looks like the Dolce Gusto, the Nescafe Dolce Gusto thing. If you've seen those, so there are two parts of it. One is an infusion chamber, they call it. That's on top. And then where you load like the loose tea leaves and stuff, and then on the below there, there's this thing called Timosa paper pod. So it's a chamber where you can put like pre-prepared Timosa paper pods, which contain tea leaves.
It's their own teapot.
It's their own teapot.
That itself for me, it's a big red flag.
Yeah,
pods.
You got really aggressive about tea there.
So it's so much like the coffee machines where they have those pods where you can make your own
latte
and stuff.
In it, right?
Yeah. So they have those, and then it also they say they also use something called ultrasonic extraction to increase antioxidant yield while brewing. So that's another. I don't know how gimmicky that term is, but that's another thing that they are using in their device. The people who covered this were The Verge, so they say that whether or not it actually has any effect on the tea is we have to see once it comes out, and then you have to do like a bunch of tests to actually find out. The price is not so cheap. It goes for about $239 US, which is about
way too much.
The question is then, how much does this tea pots after that? You gotta buy that to refill it, right? So how much did those cost?
It doesn't say here yet. I don't think they've started making the tea pots. They only want to start making this September next year.
Next year?
Next year. They're still trying to get funded.
This is Juicero Part 2. If not many of you probably not heard of Juicero. Juicero is one of the first few companies that went on Kickstarter who decided to say, like, you know, we can make juicing better and, you know, more innovative, and, you know, it's through this pod. And one of the reviews on Wall Street Journal about Juicero is that it does, you can actually just peel the orange yourself and do it on your own for just like $5, or you could buy the Juicero pod, which claims to be better for like $30 for one pod, and
for
it,
one
all,
pod.
It all kind of goes down to, you know, you're locked in to this, you know, one manufacturer who then, you know, I mean this is just gonna go down in the dumps for my Friday's show with Matt Armitage.
The tea mosa.
It's one of those things where, like, okay, I do like tea, and this is like it's an interesting concept in terms of like getting the perfect brew and stuff like that, but also like the perfect brew is just the tea that you make that you like. So, like, you know, cause also even if they think it's a perfect brew, it might not be the perfect brew for you necessarily. Like there are some people who take their tea very weak, some people who take their tea very strong. You don't know what's perfect until, you know, you ask people what their personal preferences are, because it's tea, you know. So like the concept of having like a one size fits all preference for tea that can be calculated and then provided, and then having to shell out so much money for it, it's like, guys, the Chinese people have been doing this for centuries, and they don't need a fancy tea thing. They just put the tea in the teapot.
That's what I wanted to come to, because that's why I picked this tea mosa story. Is like, I know that people are going on like this smart this, smart that, using like AI and stuff to figure things out, but I don't think you need it for every single thing.
You know what this is? This is a solution looking for a problem.
There's just no problem with me brewing tea. Why do you want
to
do this?
They're selling this ultrasonic extraction to increase antioxidant yield. I mean, you have tea, you have that already.
You buy one of those filter things that you can find in IKEA. I think it's like $5 or $6 or something.
The French press thing.
Yeah, the French press things. And then you put the leaves inside, and you, you know, make your tea.
Put boiled water in, tea leaves, boil tea. That's all that is to the tea.
I don't think I've ever
very
had,
simple process.
I don't think I've ever had tea once and then gone like, oh, I wish I had like a Bluetooth mug for it, you know, to show me how much of tea.
Ultrasonic extracted tea.
Know what fascinates me about this is that they're looking for $100,000. They have so far got about $96,000.
There are backers for this.
And there's 40 more days to go. So they're definitely on track to hit their point. But those 348 backers, do they actually realize that it's September next year? What are you going to do from now till September next year? You're going to be brewing your tea just like how you used to. And it's going to be perfectly fine.
This
is now just making me want just tea. But like not a tea mosa, just my own. I just want to put a tea bag of green tea into a mug and then put water on it now. That's all I want to do.
I just want a Teo Panas.
And you sit right next to a person who bought this tea mosa and go like, oh, how's your cup of tea?
All right, we'll take a short break. We'll go for our tea break. This is Deep Blue Something with Breakfast at Tiffany's, BFM 89.9.
Bankers, financiers, and moneymakers. BFM 89.9.
And we're back on the last hurdle for Enterprise Biz Bites with me, Jeff, Arvin, Christine, and also Majida. Christine was trying to wear her headphones on while she's trying to struggle with the cable.
I got tangled. Let's wireless. Move on with the situation.
You need wireless. You need a Bluetooth headset around. Now, it's events because it's Monday. So we do have a few events. Not many, because again, it's a long weekend
It's a short weekend.
Every single time of the month, it just seems like it's one holiday after the another. I'm not complaining.
Yeah, let's not look at the gift
just
calendar
that,
in the mouth.
It kind of gets in way with work. So, you know, personal side, I'm all happy, but work side, I am not happy. So, Arvid, where do we start?
This one is, we have this thing called Small Fish Big Wins, The Power of Crowd. So this is happening at Atria, the Sofo Suites in PJ. It's happening on September 20th. That's a Wednesday. It starts at 2 p.m., ends at 5. So in this free workshop, Jonathan Quek will reveal what took 4 years and millions of dollars of painful lessons to learn. The owner's circle or raise strategy will help you to not only maintain your business, but also help you to scale and grow to the next level quickly and safely through the art of leverage. Tickets for this are free, so it's free.
Oh, great.
So you just have to book your spot. You can do that at ptix.com.
All right. Next up.
Right, next up we have Bitcoin, an introduction to cryptocurrency and blockchain. If you ever listen to BizBytes ever, we talk about that a lot. And also, Jeff, you talk about cryptocurrency a lot on Tech Thursday as well. If you want to know more about it, you can go to futurelab.my, place in Empire Damansara. It's also on Wednesday, September the 20th, and it's from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. So what it is, it's a talk by the founders of CoinGecko, which is a cryptocurrency ranking website which aims to give a 360-degree overview of all the various cryptocurrencies in the market. During this talk, TM Lee and Bobby will take you through the background of Bitcoin, the motivation behind its creation, the mechanism of blockchain, and the current landscape as well. Ticket prices are 25 ringgit.
Not too bad. Not too bad. Majida, what do we
have? On the same day itself, also on the 20th of September on Wednesday, also from 8 p.m. to 10:30 p.m.
Oh, no, you got to split yourself.
Gotta choose. Yeah, there's the 9th edition of Lara Talks happening at Plaza Central at KL Central. Now, Lara Talks is a cool session where passionate developers share interesting tricks of the trade, hacks, lessons, and the expertise about Laravel, PHP, and web development in general. So in this episode, which is the 9th edition, you're going to have Timothy Teo from Application Architects of Frog Asia talking about how to write maintainable codes. Shane Chiam from Tech Lead at GetDoc talking about scaling PHP apps with AWS and S3. And Ajay Maduka from Full Stack Web Developer. He's a Full Stack Web Developer talking about surfing through Laravel 5.5. Tickets are free, but they are almost sold out. They're actually already sold out, but then apparently Maxis gave their bigger space, so they do have some extra tickets left, but they're going really fast, guys.
All right, cool. Now, coming up at 1 p.m., Kalmar Global has been providing cargo handling solutions and services to ports, terminals, distribution centers, and heavy industry for decades all over the world. Peter McLean, he's the Senior Vice President of Asia Pacific for Kalmar Global. He was on the Breakfast Grill and he gave insights into Kalmar's business in Asia. That's coming up after the news at 1 o'clock. Now, if you've missed any of the stories, which was, we started off with Google debuting.
Yep, so Google debuts Tez in India, and it's a mobile wallet, and it's really easy to use, and we're really looking for it to come to the rest of Asia.
Then we spoke about how AI might be able to detect Alzheimer's 10 years before symptoms show up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and then I talked about how beauty brands are currently trying to catch up with Rihanna's beauty line, Fenty Beauty.
Then we also spoke about Smart Tea or Tea Mosa. They promised to make you the perfect tea, but we were just talking about, is that really necessary?
And we then did a whole events, some of the events that's happening. At one of it, you have to actually split yourself into two because they're happening at the same time.
That's what happens when we have a short week, I think.
Everyone's just squeezing for that one day. Every event is on Wednesday.
So you go to one and then you decide whether which one you want to go for after that.
You go event hopping.
Event hopping. Anyways, this is Metric with Dead Disco, and if you've missed out on any of the stories that we have we spoke about today, you can actually download the BFM app. It's available on the iOS App Store and Google Play. We're also CarPlay enabled. You've been listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.